Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 58, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. And what follows, Psalter 58, the three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the book of the Psalms, there of Psalm 68, the verses 1 through 21. Psalm 68, the first 21 verses. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens, by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lion among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow as Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, an high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Harvey and Herma de Kock, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter on Sunday, Mr. and Mrs. John and Marie de Kock, who were blessed with the birth of a son on Monday, and Mr. and Mrs. Brian and Jackie de Kock, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is pleased thee on the evening hour of this beautiful work day, that we may come up to thy house, at least a part of the congregation. The greater part is in their dwellings when they may listen along on account of the circumstances. And then in the midst of all the trials of life, then thou yet granteth many reasons unto us and our children to praise thee. Oh, we have heard it from the psalmist. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, our Lord. Then also in this day, then thou hast showered us with many blessings, and that for a people that have sinned it all away, may it please thee in this hour to grant an impression on the one hand of thy greatness, of thy goodness, of thy majesty, and of thy mercy, but also of our sinnership. Ah, Lord, may we become small under thee. Then it is pleased thee by renewal to refreshing the earth with showers from above. Ah, then we have heard it also out of thy holy word, that the psalmist was given to declare thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou did confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. And to that end we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant those refreshing showers of thy Holy Spirit, and may there be a thirsty people amongst it. Ah, Lord, by nature then we are thirsty and hungry for all the things of the world. But now it is the work of thy blessed Spirit that sinners may become thirsty for thee, ah, Lord. Wilt thou bless thy word in this evening hour to that end, that sinners may be converted, but may there also be those thirsty ones amongst us, and that they may be satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Oh, the psalmist has declared, O Lord, how excellent is thy loving kindness, and therefore the children of men put their trust under thy wings. And now in this day, then thy church may commemorate the glorious ascension of thy dear Son into heaven to receive that place at thy right hand. Oh, then the gates of heaven have been opened. In paradise we have closed those doors. But now thou hast sent thine only begotten and beloved Son upon this earth, that through the way of suffering and death, thy justice has been satisfied, thy attributes glorified and harmonized, and then with the great ascension of thy dear Son. Oh, then it is written in thy holy word that those everlasting doors were opened, that thy Son has received the place, the homecoming of thy dear Son. But therein also lies a pledge of the homecoming of all thy people, Lord. And may it please thee in this evening hour to enlighten us where there lies such a riches in the ascension of thy dear Son. Lord, wilt thou grant some simple words to speak? Oh, may it be that the unconverted may be aroused to a holy jealousy, because for them those doors are still on the night latch. And, Lord, the doors they need to be opened here in the time. But wilt thou remember thy children? Grant those further leadings. It is such a great benefit and such a great privilege. Oh, the exercises of the ascension of thy dear Son, because therein lies declared that thy church may be brought back into the Father heart of God. Lord, wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit to that end, and wilt thou do a great work amongst us, where thy dear Son from thy right hand, where he is that eternal King, where he gathers and preserves his church. As that great prophet, then he pours out those heavenly graces, the graces of thy Spirit. Thou wast said unto thy church that it was expedient that thou would depart, because then the Comforter would come. Lord, may there be then those in our midst that stand in need of inner longing for that comfort. Comfort them as thou can do it only. But there thy dear Son is that high priest, with thy church upon his heart, that praying and thanking high priest, wonder-doing God. May it then be manifested in this evening hour, thy power and thy grace. Wilt thou bless all the means of grace in these dark, in these solemn, and in these serious times. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers with the children when they are called to instruct their children? Wilt thou also remember teachers to that end? Lord, remember thy church all over the earth. May thy earth, it is true, there are many places where the knowledge of the Lord has come, where the gospel has been preached, but where the candlestick of thy holy word has been removed, and where there are so many that dwell in great darkness. Lord, what maketh us to differ, that we may still have the truth of thy word? Leave and forsake us not. Remove not that precious candlestick, but may it burn brighter and brighter amongst us in the latter days of the earth. Remember the persecuted church. Remember mission work. Remember the Jewish people. Lord, then it is pleased thee in this week to bless three fathers and mothers with the birth of a little child, where thou wast spared life and where thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart? Wilt thou grant a special place at thy footstool, where they may be given to be wondered their little gift? May the tears be given to flow, and may the prayers be multiplied, that they may be little children for thy honor and for thy glory, children born to be born again. Wilt thou remember the grandparents together with the great-grandparents with their increased blessing and responsibilities? Wilt thou strengthen the mothers, Lord? Wilt thou remember all the unborn and remember the barren one amongst us? Then we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, where there are different ones with a virus. There are those that are weak. There are those that are frail. Oh, Lord, then we commend each and every one unto thee. May they be given to raise their eyes unto thee, a prayer unto thee, the living God. And may it please thee to grant healing and strengthening, and above all sanctifying grace, Lord, wilt thou watch over us all. Then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life. Wilt thou remember our Bethesda with those that may lovingly care for them? Remember the crosses, the burdens. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou send help from above, a strengthen out of Zion? Wilt thou open thy precious word, open our lips, and may we be thy mouthpiece, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Remember those in thy house, remember those in their dwellings, Lord. Wilt thou then grant an undeserved, but an indispensable blessing, that it may be an unforgettable evening. May we be served out of heaven, and may it be manifest in this evening hour that the King has ascended indeed, and that from thence he gathers, preserves, and defends his church. We remember the nations of the earth, where the virus continued to travel its course. Wilt thou grant a bowing under the leaders, this country, our province, an acknowledging that thou reigneth over everything, and that we are so dependent upon thee for all things. May we as a country given to repent, where we continue to murder the unborn and the elderly, they are slain. Lord, remember thy church, may we and our children, because it is written in thy word that thou art waiting to be gracious. May thy church come in the guilt. May sin become sin and guilt, guilt. May we be found more a begging people. Lord, may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 420, the stanzas 4 and 5. The Lord is great, his might untold, his chariots thousand, thousandfold, his armies never confounded. Among them God with joy displays the glory that in Moses' days Mount Sinai surrounded. And what follows? The collection tonight is for the cemetery fund. Psalter 420, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 68 and there at verse 18, where God's word and our text reads thus, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou wast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Our text words speak of the triumphant ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ with four thoughts. In the first place, the dignity of Christ's ascension. Secondly, the victory at Christ's ascension. Thirdly, the gifts with Christ's ascension. And fourthly, the abiding presence at Christ's ascension. The triumphant ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dignity of Christ's ascension. The victory at Christ's ascension. The gifts with Christ's ascension. And fourthly, the abiding presence at Christ's ascension. Thus first, the dignity of Christ's ascension. Beloved congregation, on this special day the Lord may commemorate the glorious ascension of the King into heaven. Concerning the history in the New Testament, and not so many verses. Mark 16, the 19th verse, and Luke 24, the verses 51 through 53, and in Acts 1, the verses 9 through 12. And nevertheless, already in the Old Testament, there are different prophecies of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it may be declared the dignity and the riches of that day, because we read thereof in Psalm 24 and Psalm 47, and also in this Psalm, in Psalm 68. And what a day, oh, it is true, in the New Testament, there it is written what has transpired upon the earth. Oh, Christ, he had a divine right to return to his Father on the day of his resurrection. But in the way of great love, then he has still remained for 40 days, that he may visit his disciples, that he may firmly prove that he has resurrected, also to instruct them further pertaining to the things of heaven, oh, to wean them slowly off his bodily presence, to renew the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and also at the Sea of Tiberias, that Peter may be reinstalled in his office. And we have heard on the Lord's Day morning, in Matthew 28, that the King has given unto his disciples that royal commission, In the midst of two promises, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And now in this solemn, then David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, is given to write wonderful things by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 1, then we read, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Similar words we find in Numbers 10, verse 35, when the ark would be taken up, when they would go to another encampment, then it would be announced, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. Then it is believed that this psalm was penned by David when the ark was brought up to Jerusalem. And our boys and girls know that the ark, that it is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it points to the Messiah who would come. And now it did not begin with the ark brought up to Jerusalem, no. Then I read in 1 Samuel 5, in 1 Samuel 4, when the Israelites have battled against the Philistines, that they have brought the ark into their camp, and that the Philistines have taken that ark, Israel has become Ichabod. Then that ark has come in the hand of the Philistines. And so also the Lord Jesus Christ, then filthy hands, they have taken him, they have arrested him, they have brought him to the cross. But then concerning that ark, oh, then the Philistines, they have experienced solemn things. Then in the temple of Dagon, then the first night Dagon has fallen before the ark, and the second night he has fallen down with his head and hands cut off. Then the Lord has visited the Philistines with sickness and with mice. So also the Lord Jesus Christ, when those filthy hands have laid hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then what solemn things have taken place also in the realm of nature. But then the ark for many years has been in the house of Abinadab, then for 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom, and then finally, then it was brought up to Jerusalem, as we read in 2 Samuel 6. And so it was also with the greater ark, all different steps of exaltation. First the resurrection, then tabernacled on this earth for the welfare of a Zion for 40 days. And then he has ascended into heaven. And then in this solemn, then David, then he is given to recite many of the blessings of the Lord, which he has performed for the children of Israel in the days of old. And then we also read of the hill of Bashan. That was the area on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, allotted to the 2.5 tribes. Oh, it was a very fruitful country. They were fruitful hills. But then we read that the Lord has not chosen Bashan, but that he has chosen Zion. We read thereof in Psalm 132, verse 13. Then David was also given to speak of Sinai, and in verse 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. And then we read of the holy angels, also with the creation of the earth, but concerning the ministry of the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, have the angels not sung in the fields of effort of glory to God in the highest on earth peace, a goodwill toward men? Do we not read of an angel with his temptation? Do we not read of an angel in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do we not read of the angels on the morning of the resurrection, but also with the ascension? Then there were a great multitude of angels, because the ascension, that was the homecoming of Christ. Oh, that was the crowning day of the mediator. And concerning those mysteries, oh, what a day that must have been, when Christ, when he has entered into the third heaven, he has prayed for the same in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Then in the Gospels and in Luke, in the Gospels and in Acts, it is recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, that he has led his disciples out as far as Bethany, a little town on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olivet, about 3 kilometers to the east of Jerusalem. And then he has instructed them, and then he has lifted up his hands, and he has blessed them. And then those disciples, they have witnessed that he was taken up into heaven till a cloud took him away, already typified in the Old Testament by an Enoch in Genesis 5. But then we do not read of any witnesses. Oh, in Elijah, it was witnessed by one, by Elisha. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, it was witnessed by those disciples. And then he was taken up, as we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, actual, visibly, and locally. And now what has transpired behind those clouds, oh, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he has finished perfectly the work which his Father has laid upon him in the state of his humiliation, when it was the homecoming of the Son, then we read thereof in Psalm 24, verse 8, oh, when Christ has entered into glory, then there was said, who is this King of glory? And then the answer, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then there is further written, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, then boys and girls, as it was told us, that the doors must be taken off the hinges, of course, figuratively speaking, those gates of heaven. Oh, those gates which we have closed in paradise through our sin. Do I not read in Genesis 3, verse 24, of those cherubims with that flaming sword? But now the Son of God, he was willing to come upon this earth, that those gates may be reopened by his passive and by his act of obedience. Thus, what a moment that must have been for the holy angels, for the saints that were above. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And then by renewal, who is this King of glory? the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And in Psalm 45, verse 47, verse 5, a God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of trumpet. Thus, what a day that must have been, cannot be fathomed, cannot be described, cannot be understood. But it is written in the Word of God. Oh, then he has received a place in heaven. It was a place that was promised from his Father. It was a place of honor. It was a place of blessing. Oh, it was a place of power. Oh, it was a place of rest, as the ark in the time of David, when it may receive a place in a tent in Jerusalem, that it may find a constant abiding place. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he ascended into heaven, then he has opened the heavens for his people. Oh, in that ascension, what a righteous lie declared for the true people of God. It does not begin with that knowledge. For the people of God, they first have to do with closed doors. But what a riches lie in the ascension of Christ. Because Christ, he went before his people, the forerunner. And Christ in heaven, with his flesh, that is a pledge for the true people of God, that at least at last, they shall also be brought home. The dignity of Christ's ascension, not so many words in the scriptures. It was such a great, such an unfathomable happening when the Son of God, when he has returned to the heavens, it was the crowning day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has received a place at the right hand of the Father. I read in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Is there also a place for us, congregation? A place for us in heaven. And I have stated, it does not begin with that knowledge. When the Lord begins to work, what do we then learn? That the door is shut because of my sins. And then we become active to try to open that door, to try to please the Lord. And we have heard from the Heidelberg Catechism that by our works, are there still people busy with those things, trying to open that door, because it's not yet on the night latch. We are still in the precious day of grace. But then we shall cry unto the Lord whether there is a way. Does not begin with ascension. But oh, what a riches may it arouse to a holy jealousy. And also for those disciples that not begin with Ascension Day. First, under the prophetical ministry of Christ, they were so ignorant, even enemies of the suffering of Christ. And then it became Good Friday. And then Easter. Romans 4, verse 25, who was raised, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Then it became Easter. And then it became ascension. When the church, through that mediator, may be brought back to the Father heart of God, may it please the Lord to grant his people at those further leadings, our second thought, the victory at Christ's ascension. And then we read in our text, thou hast ascended on high. And then we read, thou hast led captivity captive. What are we now to understand by that expression? In the times of war, then sometime it has happened that there were captives that have been captured and they were held captive by the enemy, that they were pursued, and that those captives were freed. We have examples in the Bible. In Genesis 40, we read of King Chedorlaomer with four other kings that they have come upon the land of Canaan and that they have conquered Sodom and Gomorrah, a few other cities, and that they have taken Lot and other people captive. And then Abram, with 318 servants, he has chased them and he has surprised them. And then he has recaptured that people that were captives and brought them back to the land of Canaan. I think also of the example of King, he was not king yet, but David in 1 Samuel 30. Then he has returned to his town Ziklag, and it was all burnt up, and the enemy, the Amalekites, they have taken his wives, his children, and servants. And then we read in verse 6, that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and that was 600 servants, that he has pursued the enemy and that he has recovered all the spoil. Those wives, those children, he has all brought them back. And now many times in the days of old, when a king or a general, when he went to fight the battles, and then when he has returned with many captives, then they tell us that such a king or such a general, riding upon his horse, followed by many chariots, and tied to those chariots were many of the enemies that had been captured. But also in that train were those captives from their own people that would return to the city. And then when that take place, then the people would stand on the side of the road, and then they would stand on the cities of the walls, waiting for the king and the general to return. And then there would be great shouting. Think, when a David has returned, the girls have sung, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Thus then you can picture, boys and girls, such a king, such a general, when he would return from a far country with many of the enemies which he has conquered tied to the chariots, but also many of the captives that the enemy has taken out of the city, that it would be a time of great rejoicing, and that such a king and such a general would be honored. And that is now what we read in our text words of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou was led a captivity captive. Thus then Christ, to say it reverently and in a figuratively way, as we find in our text, then Christ has returned as the great victor, as the King of Kings, and as the Lord of Lords. And now concerning which enemies has he now conquered? Oh, then in the first place, then we must speak of Satan, because that warfare has been declared in Genesis 3 verse 15. Oh, that hellish Goliath that holdeth the children of men in his captive grips, and there is no son of man that can deliver himself. Oh, it is true, alas, alas, by nature, then those captives, because in our deep fallen Adam, there we have given herself, then we are not so troubled with being captives. Oh, let us say, it is still a privilege when we are those captives, that we still have a troubled conscience and a speaking conscience, that prayers are still sent unto heaven, but no power and no will to be delivered from that captivity. But now Christ, oh, he has defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, when we read, and thou wast led captive captivity, then in the first place, then he has slain those enemies. Thus in the first place, Satan. Oh, in the second place, then he has conquered the world. Oh, Christ has said in John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall persecute you. But, O Christ, as the conqueror, then he is also king over the world and over the enemies. But what else? Then he has also conquered the law, because the law has held that people in its grips, because they have come under Moses. But Christ, he has obeyed the law. Oh, then he has also delivered them from death and hell. Oh, does the apostle not declare in 1 Corinthians 15, the verses 55 and 56, oh, death, where is, oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy victory? Thus thou wast led captive captivity. Thus when Christ, when he has ascended into heaven as that great victor, as a victor over all those enemies that have been conquered, but captivity captive, that refers to those captives that have been held so fast, and now Christ has come upon this world, and through his finished meritorial work in the state of his humiliation, then the justice has been satisfied, the law has been obeyed, and then Christ, by power divine, then he frees those captives. But now we can understand, congregation, when you have been people that have been taken captives from a certain country, and they become quite satisfied under the hand of the enemy, under many promises, and how many promises the devil made, then it is not so easy to deliver those captives if they are not willing to be delivered. But if those captives have a desire to stay in the hands of the enemy, then we would say nearly an impossible work. But now when we read, has led captivity captive, then those captives that may come back to the city under the dominion of the king, oh, they have become willing captives, because they read in Psalm 110 verse 3, that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. And in Psalm 146 verse 8, there I read, that the Lord looseth the prisoners. Thus our text declares that with the homecoming and the returning of the King of the Church to the third heavens, then he has brought his children, all those captives, from the youngest to the oldest. Oh, then is when Christ has ascended, that lies declared therein, it is true, with the ascension of Christ, great multitudes would still be brought in, but it was already the pledge that they would all follow. And to that end, before his ascension, that commission to the disciples, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a multitude that captive captivity is. The Apostle John on the island of Patmos in Revelation 7 verse 9. Oh, then he saw a great multitude from all tongues, all colors, all nations, a multitude that no man could number. Thus thou wast led captivity captive. Thus in that ascension of Christ, all of God's people, they are included therein, in that homecoming. All those that have been converted before the time, but all those that shall be converted to the last one has led captivity captive. Has that now ever taken place in our life? Have we learned that we are a captive? That we are in prison? And that we have a great debt? And that the door is shut? Oh, have we learned to cry, look up unto heaven? Have we become a missing people? Because when the Spirit works, then we learn what an awful captivity that is. Under the bondage of the devil, the world, our flesh, our lust, and that it has such a grip upon us that we can never be delivered. Oh, have we ever learned that we are a captive in the prison house, and that the door of heaven, that it is locked, and which door is open, that is the door to hell, but that we have begun to cry, that we have done everything trying to open that prison door, that we have worked 7 days a week, sometime day and night, oh, sometime with a little hope. Because when those captives, when they may hear, when they may experience a little of the favor of the Lord, then how happy they are. But they learn that they need to be released. They learn that justice needs to be satisfied. And then what is necessary, not only to hear that there is a Savior, but that the Savior may open the door. And now, with the ascension of Christ, all young and old, small and great, they are all included in that number, that he has went to prepare a place for them. O congregation, may we be aroused to a holy jealousy, because if there is no prepared mansion for us, where shall we then spend eternity, boys and girls? Then there's only one other place, and that is hell. Our third thought, the gifts with Christ's ascension, let us first sing. Psalter 129, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. God hath ascended with a shout, Jehovah with a trumpet sound. Sing praise to God, our King. Sing praise. Yea, let his glorious praises abound. And what follows? 129, 3, 4, and 5. The triumphant ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dignity of Christ's ascension, the victory at Christ's ascension, and now thirdly, the gifts with Christ's ascension. And then we read, thou hast received gifts for men. We read of David, when the ark was brought up to Jerusalem, that he gave to the people a loaf of bread, a piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. They also tell us, when a king or a general has returned, and when those captives that had been arrested by the enemy when they were freed and when they were returned, that many times those captives, they also received a gift. We read there of in 1 Samuel 30, where it is specifically mentioned, and this is the spoil of David. Thus, then our text words that speaks that for those captives, those that have been conquered by grace, that Christ as the royal king, that he has merited, received, and that he grants those gifts to his people. Our text word that is further declared in Ephesians 4, the verses 7 through 12. And there it speaks of the gifts which Christ gives to his church, and then it is especially mentioned teachers, apostles, evangelists, that the church may be instructed. When we read in our text, thou hast received gifts for men, then the gifts which Christ has merited for his people, which he grants by his Holy Spirit, what precious gifts they are. Faith, hope, love, repentance, humility, peace, joy. We can read all of those gifts in the book to the Galatians. And now, who were those gifts for? For thou hast received gifts for men. Thus then you can picture, boys and girls, the returning king, the returning general, that has gained such a great victory, that has come with much spoil, that he grants those gifts unto those captives. But now we read something more. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Do you hear it rightly? It does not say in our text that thou hast received gifts for those that have been rebellious. Oh, when the child of God looks back, then they must hang their head in shame. Sins of youth, remember not. But now of our exalted King, that he does not say, I have received gifts for men, for those that have become good people, but for the rebellious also. Thus that is in the present state, because those captives, oh, sometime it even happens in daily life, that they let a prisoner loose in the morning, and before the night comes, then he is back in prison because he has done something amiss. Oh, for the rebellious also. And that is what the church learns, but it is written for the comfort for the church. Ah, rebellious, where that proud man will never bow under free and sovereign grace, but also concerning the way of providence, that the church experiences. Oh, what a grace to let God be God and to follow him unconditionally. Then we see in our text the great love of the King. Oh, what a work he has performed to release those captives. Ah, to say it reverently, then Christ, we know, he was taken captive himself. Filthy hands have arrested him. He has went from court to court. To say it reverently, Samuel Rutherford, he has stated in written in a certain letter that Christ had to go to the bottom of hell and there to find those captives, those jewels. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now was that victor, then he has delivered those captives. But for the rebellious also. Oh, how fitting for those rebellious ones, the prayer of the publican each time by renewal, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, concerning those gifts. Then in this chapter, we find many precious gifts which Christ has merited for his people. In verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. Oh, when the Lord works, then we become a solitary one. Then we become a stranger. But now he places them in the family of God. And another gifts bringeth out those that are bound with chains. In verse 7, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, is that not a precious gift that the Lord leads and guides his people? Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. And then further in verse 8, Mount Sinai, where the Lord has given law and gospel. Oh, verse 9, that is another precious gift. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Oh, how weary that inheritance can be. They can feel oftentimes forsaken and forgotten. But when there may be gentle showers of the Holy Spirit, then verse 11, that is another gift that we have spoken of. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Oh, in verse 13, therefore that church, when they were so in captivity, though ye have lien among the pots with in those ashes in Egypt, yet shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. Oh, in verse 15 and 16 places together, thus thou hast received gifts for men. Thus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Then he is that rich king that distributes those gifts to his people. Yea, for the rebellious also. Our forethought. The abiding presence at Christ's ascension. And then we read that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day number 18, there is asked how it is with Christ's presence at that ascension, whereas human nature has went into heaven, how can then he always be present with his church? And then the instructors have answered, but with respect to his Godhead, majesty, a grace and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Thus the abiding presence of the King, even with his ascension. But the last statement in our text, that refers further to another matter, that the Lord God might dwell among them. The Lord Jesus Christ, especially in his discourse, which he has spoken to his 11 disciples after the celebration of the Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper, then in John 14, 15, and 16, then each time Christ has explained to his disciples that it was expedient that he would part from them, because with his departing, that the Comforter, that he would come. And I think our children know who that Comforter is. It is true. Christ is also a Comforter. Oh, how he has comforted his church each time by renewal. Do we not read in the Gospels for a poor and a needy sinner? Oh, that he has drawn out their heart that they may unburden themselves. Oh, what comforting words he has spoken, what invitations. But we read, especially in those three chapters, that Christ is stressed, that he must depart, that it would be expedient, because then the Comforter would come, and he would teach them all things, and he would guide them in all truth. Thus, when we read in our text words, that the Lord God might dwell among them, that especially, it is true, we have stated out of our Heidelberg Catechism, based upon God's word, that with his divinity majesty, that the Lord is never absent from his church. No, do we not read? Oh, it is true in Isaiah 49, where Zion says, the Lord has forgotten, the Lord has forsaken me, that the Lord has said, can a mother forget her second child? Yea, she may forget, but I will not forget. Yea, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand. We have heard on the Lord's day morning, out of Matthew 28, verse 20, that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But now, this last statement, that especially refers to the sending out of the Holy Spirit upon his church, which has taken place on the day of Pentecost. Oh, that he would comfort his church. Thus, Christ has ascended into heaven, and our Heidelberg Catechism says it so beautifully, that his prophet, that he pours out those heavenly graces upon his church. First place, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Not a few drops, but it has been poured out. So that Spirit, that he would dwell in a special way in the midst of his church, and in the moment of regeneration, then the Holy Spirit takes habitation up in the heart of a sinner. And then what a work, what precious work the Spirit does. He regenerates, he instructs, he guides, he comforts, he assures, he seals. But it is especially the work of the Spirit. As I read in John 16, verse 14, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. Thus, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And that is by working conversions. Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That is the instruction, that is the leading of his people. Also the Spirit of prayer and of supplication, as it was before the day of Pentecost. The triumph ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now as a fruit thereupon, then David may continue. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth me with benefits. What is it to be loaded? when we buy a vehicle, then we can buy one that is loaded with options. Does not mean we need it, but that is an expression we know. So that there are many extras on such a vehicle. And now we read, that is a fruit upon that ascension, that the King that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and then he is given to praise, to thank. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And then further, even the God of our salvation. Ah, that first part. The Lord all loadeth us with many blessings. But what about the second part? Has there also come an even in our life? Or do we still have to say, congregation, only the outward blessings that I am loaded with? But now David may say, even the God of our salvation, a Selah. And then he is given to continue. He, that is our God, is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord, all connection with the ascended Christ, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of death. That's not what it says. But the issues from death. Because Christ, he has conquered a forest people. And then in verse 21, but makes a separation. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Thus following the ascension of Christ, first there is spoken of that blessed people, loadeth with benefits, God of our salvation, unto God belong the issues from death, and then that people that is still an enemy and goeth on still in his trespasses. Congregation, what a righteous lie declared in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it please the exalted King to pour out those gifts, those heavenly graces, in a rich measure upon us and our children, that we may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, who was able to declare the riches that lie declared in the ascension of thy dear Son, O wilt thou pour out thy Holy Spirit in the beginning, that those captives, that they may become restless, and that they may be given to cry after thee. And, O Lord, where thou hast begun, thy people, they have so much to learn, and also much to unlearn and to relearn. Wilt thou lead them in the precious things of the Lord? Ah, grand precious meditations concerning that royal King, the right hand of the Father in his threefold office. A Lord, he reigneth also today under the difficult and solemn circumstances. Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of this week? Remember all those that are sick. May it please thee to grant healing, strengthening. May all the callings be sanctified. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 202, the stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in Thee. My hand is in Thy hand, Thou carest for me, and what follows. 202, the stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.